Amendments. As a transaction progresses, amendments to the original contract may be needed. Common amendments include changes to the closing date, changes to the sales price, down payment, and/or amount financed, repairs that the seller agrees to perform, removal or waiver of contingencies. The closing date specified in a contract is usually an on or before date. The agent should complete an amendment if the closing needs to be extended. A closing date extension is often required when the property needs repairs or when the lender requires additional time for closing. Changes to the sales price, down payment, or amount financed may be agreed to by the parties for any reason. The most common reason for this type of amendment is an appraisal that came in below the sales price. This is particularly important when the buyer is making a minimal down payment and needs a maximum loan-to-value ratio. The buyer will typically have inspections done during the contract period and may negotiate repairs with the seller. Suppose the seller agrees to do repairs or agrees to a financial adjustment for needed repairs. In that case, the contract will require an amendment. The parties may waive contingencies at any time. Examples include the waiver of sale of other property contingencies, option periods, and any other condition that a party wishes to waive. Addenda. An addendum to a contract is an attachment that adds or further describes the rights and duties of the parties. Many of the contingencies discussed earlier are added to the contract as an addendum. A contract may be subject to the buyer obtaining acceptable financing. A financing addendum may be added that specifies the type of loan the buyer is obtaining, the term, rate of interest, origination fees, and other costs. Other addenda forms may give the buyer the authority to conduct additional inspections, including environmental, hazardous wastes, or endangered species research. Unsatisfactory results from the testing or research may be grounds for termination of the contract. Common addenda forms would include topics such as financing addendum, lead-based paint, seller financing, flood hazard, mineral reservations, property owners association information. Sometimes a provision in an addendum form contradicts a provision in the main body of the contract. In such a case, the provision in the addendum prevails. For example, some contract forms provide that the seller will provide the buyer with a general warranty deed at closing. An attached addendum may provide that the seller will provide the buyer with a special warranty deed at closing. In such a case, the seller will provide the special warranty deed because that is what is called for in the addendum. Additional considerations: contingencies, amendments, and addenda. When considering terms to be added to a contract, consider the following. Is the fulfillment of the contingency achievable? Does the contingency, addendum, or amendment conflict with other terms of the contract? A contract that gives the buyer 30 days to obtain financing makes little sense if the closing date is 20 days from the effective date of the contract. Can performance be measured? Provisions in a contract must not be vague. They must be clear enough for all parties to know that each is complying with the terms of the contract. Measurable terms include specific dollar amounts or dates by which the parties must perform. Terms that may be too vague would consist of statements that repairs must be acceptable to the buyer, or agreements between buyer and seller to negotiate at some point in the future. For example, a buyer and seller entered into a contract contingent upon the buyer obtaining a conventional loan. A provision was added to the contract stating that if the buyer was unable to obtain the conventional loan, the parties would agree to negotiate seller financing acceptable to both. This agreement to negotiate in the future is sufficiently vague and most likely unenforceable. Review elements in practice. Seller financing addendum. Paragraph A. Credit documentation. The buyer will provide the documentation necessary for the seller's approval of the buyer's creditworthiness. Paragraph B. Buyer's credit approval. If the documentation is not delivered to the seller, then the seller has the right to terminate the contract, provided he/she gives the buyer the required notice. Credit approval is at the sole discretion of the seller. Paragraph C. Promissory note. The interest rate is negotiable and can be paid in three possible repayment plans. Paragraph C. 1. A single payment with interest payable at maturity, monthly or quarterly. This option would be suitable for a buyer anticipating the receipt of a bonus or other payout in the future. Paragraph C. Two installments either include interest or have interest added to them. The most common are monthly installments, including interest. Payments will begin a number of days from the date of the note, 30 days the most common. Payments will continue for a number of months to amortize the loan fully, or may continue for a lesser number of months if the parties agree to a balloon payment. For example, a loan could be amortized over 20 years, with the balance being due in 60 months. Paragraph C. Three payments will be made in a combination of interest-only payments followed by payment of principal and interest. Paragraph D. Deed of trust. Paragraph D. One property transfers. If D1A is selected, the property may be sold to a future buyer who assumes the loan without the consent of the seller. If D1B is selected, any assumption of the loan must be approved by the seller. D1B is essentially a due-on-sale clause and is the preferred choice of most sellers. Paragraph D. 2. Casualty insurance. The seller may require the buyer to insure the property until he or she has paid off the note. Casualty insurance will protect the seller from major losses to the property. The seller may require the buyer to name him or her as a mortgage e-loss payee. As a loss payee, the insurance company will issue a check to the seller for damages. Paragraph D. 3. Tax and insurance escrow. Escrow is either required or not. If escrow is not required, the buyer must furnish the seller each year with evidence of taxes being paid, and must provide the seller with evidence of paid-up casualty insurance, naming the seller as a mortgage e-loss payee. Paragraph D. 4. Prior liens. Default on a superior lien will constitute a default under the deed of trust securing the note. For example, the deed of trust is in the second position behind a first mortgage on the property. The seller could foreclose on this deed of trust if the first mortgage becomes delinquent, even if the note in this transaction is up to date. Amendment. The amendment can be used for many purposes. If signed by both parties, it becomes a change to the existing contract and must be submitted to the title company. Paragraph 1. Buyer and seller agree to amend paragraph 3 of the contract. A change might be made to reduce paragraph 3C to match an appraisal that values the property at less than the original sales price. The cash portion, down payment, and financing will be altered accordingly. Paragraph 2. The seller has agreed, at the seller's expense, to complete the listed repairs and treatments. This change is often made as a result of the buyer's inspection of the property. Paragraph 3. If this box is checked, the closing date of sale is changed. Paragraph 4. This change indicates that the seller will pay some or all of the buyer's costs. In some cases, the seller is willing to contribute to the buyer's closing costs as a part of the negotiated deal. In other cases, the buyer may be obtaining a loan that stipulates that the buyer cannot pay certain costs. Paragraph 5. The lender requires repairs and treatments as itemized on an attached list paid by the seller, amount indicated on the blank line, and if requested, an amount indicated on the blank line to be paid by the buyer. The lender required repairs generally come from the appraisal report if the appraiser cites deficiencies that affect the value of the property or that are a danger to the health and safety of an occupant. Paragraph 6. The seller has agreed to extend the original option period specified in paragraph 5B. For such an extension to be valid, an additional option fee must be paid. Please note that according to the 2020 contracts, the option fee is automatically credited to the sales price at closing. Paragraph 7. The buyer waives the unrestricted right to terminate the contract. Paragraph 8. The seller is granting the buyer additional time to obtain approval pursuant to the third-party financing addendum. Paragraph 9. State law prohibits real estate brokers and sales agents from practicing law. The parties should consult an attorney before signing the amendment. Addendum for seller's disclosure of lead-based paint and lead-based paint hazards. This addendum is promulgated by TREC and satisfies the requirement under federal law for disclosure of lead-based paint issues. The addendum should be completed by the seller when the property is listed. Paragraph A. Lead warning statement. States that if you are about to buy a residential dwelling built before 1978, this addendum notifies you of the hazards associated with lead-based paint. Paragraph B. Seller's disclosure. Select the correct box to indicate that they do or do not know of lead-based paint or lead-based paint hazards. Likewise, indicate whether the seller has provided the buyer with reports, or if the seller has no reports or records of lead-based paint or lead-based paint hazards. Paragraph C. Buyer's rights. The buyer must indicate whether he, she, waives the right to conduct a risk assessment or inspection. Otherwise, the buyer may have the property inspected within 10 days of the effective date of the contract. Paragraph D. Buyer's acknowledgement. The buyer will check whether he, she has received copies of all information mentioned above and has received a copy of the pamphlet, Protect Your Family from Lead in Your Home. This pamphlet is available in English and Spanish. Paragraph E. Broker's acknowledgement. The broker must inform the seller of the seller's need to A. Provide the buyer with the above-named pamphlet on lead poisoning prevention. B. Complete this addendum. C. Disclose if the seller is aware of lead-based paint and or lead-based paint in or on the property. D. Deliver all records and reports to the buyer concerning lead-based paint and or lead-based paint hazards in the property. E. Give the buyer 10 days to have property inspected by an inspector of the buyer's choice. And F. Keep a copy of this addendum for at least 3 years following the sale of the subject property. Brokers must ensure compliance. Paragraph F. Certification of accuracy. Both the buyer and the seller certify by signing and dating on signature lines. Respectively, they have reviewed the entire addendum, recognize the addendum is required by federal law, and to the best of their knowledge, is true and accurate. Note that the brokers are also required to sign. Addendum for reservation of oil, gas, and other minerals. Ownership of real property can be divided into three separate estates: surface, air rights, and subsurface rights. Subsurface rights in this addendum are referred to as the mineral estate. Because of the high level of oil and gas activity throughout Texas, the mineral estate began being severed from the surface estate in transactions over 100 years ago. The mineral estate is severed from the surface estate in one of two ways. First, mineral interests can be conveyed from one owner to another with a mineral deed, by will, or through inheritance. Over the years, thousands of landowners have sold their mineral interests in this manner. To this day, investors continue to purchase mineral interests from surface owners as well as other mineral owners. Secondly, when a property is sold, the seller often reserves some, if not all, of the mineral estate. Assuming the seller owns any of the mineral estate, the negotiation of the sale of unimproved property and farm and ranch property almost always involves the negotiation of mineral interests. In paragraph B1, the seller is reserving all of the mineral estate owned, if any. In paragraph B2, seller reserves a fractional interest. If 50% is entered in this paragraph and the seller owns all, 100%, of the mineral estate at closing, the buyer will acquire the surface, improvements, and 50% of the mineral estate.